there. I'm Jean Tiberio, and I'm a nutritionist and a wellness coach. Welcome to Healing Outside the Box. Today is episode 109, and I'm calling it the 411 on food-drug interactions. Now, I'm sure you know that there's also drug-drug interactions, and there's food-food interactions, where, say, one food might enhance or interfere with the absorption of another food ingredient. But in this episode, we'll be looking at different foods and how they may enhance or interfere with the effectiveness of a medication you're taking. And in a few cases, there may be harmful side effects brought on by any given food ingredient on a medication. But I'll get to that in a minute. By the way, there's one food-food interaction that comes to mind, and it's one that dietitians like to declare when they want to impress someone at a cocktail party. And maybe this is because many dietitians feel like they get no respect at times. Because let's face it, most people know what's good for them and what's not good for them. So the one food-food interaction that we prance around telling everyone about is that vitamin C, say in orange juice, improves the absorption of iron, especially iron in plants like the green leafy vegetables. We like to say that there's iron in spinach, but the absorption rate into our bloodstream is not as good as it might be in, say, red meats. But if you don't eat red meat, you might be interested in getting your iron from green leafy vegetables. So there you go. Have some with vitamin C and you'll be okay. Anyway, back to the food-drug interactions. Now, again, this is generally defined as a situation when a food you eat affects the meds you are taking in any way. And by food, we mean food, caffeine, and alcohol. And this could mean prescription meds or over-the-counter meds, such as aspirin or Tylenol. I'm sure you may be familiar with the fact that there may be some food restrictions with medicines you've been prescribed, or a medicine that you're taking can change how your body uses or absorbs a food item. Let's say you're taking a narcotic painkiller. Many of these can cause constipation, so you take laxatives and more laxatives. Now, these laxatives may interfere with your absorption of electrolytes, like the all-important potassium. This could affect your heart rhythm, which can't be good if you're taking too many narcotics. Now, this podcast episode is in no way meant to replace your doctor's orders or replace any instructions your doctor gives you with regard to taking your medicine. Your local pharmacist also knows a lot about these food-drug interactions, and you can always check with your pharmacist as well. So always check with your doctor or pharmacist first, and if you experience anything that you might consider a side effect or especially an allergic reaction, please let them know immediately. Now, much of this information comes from me basically paraphrasing an FDA website on the subject. I'll give you a link to this as well in the show notes. Also, before I begin, I just want to let you know that your weight and your gender are both important contributing factors to how the dose of almost any drug will affect you. In the old days, before a doctor would administer a dose of a certain drug, he may want your weight, and the recommendation might be X amount of milligrams per kilogram of body weight. But again, if you have any questions about things like that, just ask your doctor. Now, the meds I'm going over are only the meds that the FDA has already approved. Back when I was counseling pregnant women on their nutritional needs during different stages of their pregnancy, I always advised them that some herbal teas are not regulated, and not regulated means untested during pregnancy. So again, check with your OBGYN if you're interested in taking teas like Red Zinger or chamomile. The same applies to dietary supplements sold in health food stores. They may be just fine, or they may not. Now, if you have any questions, especially if you're pregnant, again, ask your doctor or pharmacist to look into it for you. In terms of empty stomach versus full stomach, the information is usually on the bottle or on the attached sheet of paper. If it's a prescription, the paper will usually answer this question. Now, if you don't see the information anywhere, once again, ask your doctor or pharmacist. Now, as for the alcohol, use the common sense rule. If you have no common sense, once again, check with your doctor or pharmacist. Just in general, pretty much everyone will tell you never to swallow your medicine with alcohol. See common sense. In general, alcohol will add to the side effects caused by some medications. In a few cases, alcohol on top of a med can be toxic. I will let you know when we get to those cases. One of them that comes to mind is an MAO inhibitor, which is a class of antidepressants. Now for a list of the drug categories and foods to eliminate or avoid on them. Let's start with narcotic painkillers, shall we? The first of these is codeine. Codeine used to be used a lot more than it is now. Codeine may also be mixed with Tylenol, but it will tell you on the label. Tylenol, by the way, is acetaminophen. And this is often used if you have a severe cough that's keeping you up at night. Another common narcotic painkiller is oxycodone. Oxycodone is Percocet that's mixed with Tylenol. Hydrocodone sounds like oxycodone, but it's actually Vicodin. So hydrocodone is Vicodin, and they're not equal in strength. 5 milligrams of Percocet is equal to 10 milligrams of Vicodin. Now, if you need a knock-your-socks-off painkiller, morphine is often given, and that is stronger than either Percocet or Vicodin. Now, the FDA tells you to follow your doctor's advice carefully, because these medicines can be habit-forming. Duh. And all are addictive, even codeine. Now, perhaps you've been living in a cave and don't have a TV, in which case I'll define OxyContin for you. It's an opioid alkaloid, which is found in the opium poppy. In other words, it's semi-synthetic and derived from the poppy flower, and is very addictive. The FDA says you should never drink alcohol while using narcotic painkillers. Alcohol can increase the chance of dangerous side effects, including coma and death, as I've just mentioned. The other thing that opiates cause is chronic constipation, and people addicted to these narcotics can start taking a lot of laxatives, and the result can be dehydration, lowered potassium levels, stomach upset, and altered absorption of vitamins and minerals. Another thing that's not often mentioned is that people that are taking a lot of these narcotics generally have a lowered appetite and will choose the medicine over food, which can result in insufficient absorption of protein, vitamins, etc. Now let's go to the over-the-counter painkillers. We first have Tylenol or acetaminophen. They ask you here to limit your alcohol intake. This can increase your chance of liver failure if you're taking a lot of both, partly because Tylenol is metabolized in your liver. In high doses, it can damage your liver more than some other medications. Now, the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, these are what we call NSAIDs, your ibuprofen and aspirin. Now, you can take these meds with food or milk if they upset your stomach. In terms of alcohol, it's one of those common sense things. If you drink 1 to 3 alcoholic drinks per day, ask your doctor about using these meds. NSAIDs with a decent amount of alcohol can cause stomach bleeding, which of course can cause more absorption problems with vitamins and minerals. Now let's talk about drugs that treat heart disease and high blood pressure. First, we have our ACE inhibitors. A common one of these is lisinopril. These ACE inhibitors can work alone or with other meds to lower blood pressure and treat heart failure. They relax your blood vessels so blood can flow smoothly in your heart. You can take these drugs 1 hour before meals. And these ACE inhibitors, in general, will increase the amount of potassium in your body. Too much potassium can be harmful as well as too little. So check with your doctor about that. If you get palpitations, definitely check with your doctor. They may tell you on this to avoid large amounts of foods that are high in potassium. And they would be your bananas, oranges, etc. And FYI, your salt substitutes do contain potassium. So let your doctor know if you're using those. Now, the next group of heart meds are beta blockers. These can treat high blood pressure. They're also used to prevent chest pain or pressure. And if you've had a heart attack, more than likely your doctor will put you on these beta blockers. They work by slowing the heart rate and relaxing the blood vessels so the heart doesn't have to work as hard to pump the blood. More than likely your doctor will tell you not to suddenly stop taking a beta blocker without telling him or her. Now, an example of one of these is metoprolol, sometimes called toprol. The general recommendation is to take these with food, as it will decrease the chance that the drug will lower your blood pressure too much. There's also extended-release tablets, which can avoid that. The next group of drugs is called diuretics, or water pills. Diuretics help remove water and salt, which reduces swelling or what they call edema. One common one, hydrochlorothiazide or furosemide. This might also be referred to as Lasix. Now, they recommend that you take your diuretic with food because sometimes it upsets your stomach. Now, this definitely you should talk to your doctor about because some diuretics cause you to lose potassium and other diuretics may lower your kidney's ability to remove the potassium when it gets high. And this might have something to do with what conditions you may also have. For example, if you have diabetes, your kidneys may not be functioning at 100%. So definitely consult with your physician when you take these. Now, the next group of compounds usually involves one type of drug, and that's digoxin. These are called glycosides. They're used to treat heart failure and an abnormal or irregular heart rhythm. They control the heart rate and basically help the heart pump better. You can take digoxin on an empty stomach, or even if you have a little food in your stomach, that's fine. Foods that are especially high in fiber could decrease the effectiveness of the digoxin in your body, so just be aware of that. Probably not a good idea to take digoxin with laxatives. Now, this pertains to almost no one, but they also suggest that you avoid taking digoxin with black licorice. There's a substance in there that perhaps in high doses could cause an irregular heartbeat. Now, here we go with the cholesterol-lowering agents. Some of these are called statins. You've probably heard of them. One famous one is Lopit. These work by lowering the rate of production of low-density lipoproteins, or the LDL form of cholesterol. Some of these meds also lower triglycerides. Triglycerides are the storage form that fat takes in your bloodstream and in your fat cells. You can take these statins on either an empty or a full stomach. It says here that large amounts of grapefruit juice can raise the level of those statins in your body and perhaps increase the chance of getting side effects. I personally think it would take a large amount of grapefruit juice to do this, but I'm just laying it all out for you. As for alcohol, well, you know the drill. Avoid alcohol. And here it is because these statins are metabolized in your liver, and a large amount of alcohol, especially over time, can increase the chance of liver damage. The first sign of this will be if a group of tests called liver function tests start to go up. And that's a sign that your liver is being taxed or overworked. Next, we have the vasodilators, or the nitrates. This is basically your nitroglycerin. There's another word that's commonly used in this category, and that is isosorbide. Nitrates are used sometimes on a per-needed basis to treat chest pain. They work by relaxing the blood vessels to the heart, and that improves the blood flow through your arteries into your lungs. You can take all forms of nitrates on a full or empty stomach. If you're taking nitroglycerin and your blood pressure tends to be on the low side, you may want to be careful and perhaps take it with food. And once again, avoid alcohol. If there's a lot of alcohol in your bloodstream when you take these, it could make your blood pressure drop to a dangerously low level. Okay, the next category is what we call anticoagulants. They're also called blood thinners. I'm sure you've heard of the word warfarin, and that's the most famous drug in this category. These will lower your chance of harmful blood clots, and these can form anywhere in your body, not just your heart, but your legs or anywhere else. Anticoagulants can be used in the hospital. They're used with certain types of irregular heartbeats, possibly when people have had a replacement heart valve, and most often when people have had a heart attack. Now, you can take these drugs on a full or an empty stomach. Now, this is the med that is often discussed in relation to vitamin K. Vitamin K in food can make this medicine less effective. Now, what they'll tell you is to eat a normal, balanced diet, but avoid or eat less of foods that are high in vitamin K. And they include broccoli, cabbage, collard greens, spinach, kale, Brussels sprouts, etc. If you'd like a list of foods that contain high amounts of vitamin K, I can send it along to you. Just contact me on my contact page, which is healingoutsidethebox.com/contact, and I'll mail you back that list. They also mention to avoid cranberry juice or products that are high in cranberries. This is because there's a substance in cranberry juice that can change the effects of warfarin. Your doctor might also give you specific instructions on certain vitamins and dietary supplements. So follow your doctor's specific instructions in that case. More than likely, it's regarding the amount of vitamin K in any particular supplement. Now, this to me seems a little silly, but they do say avoid garlic and ginger because they may increase your chance of bleeding. I think they may be talking about a lot of either of those, but again, check with your doctor. Now, this is the FDA, remember? So I may be paraphrasing here, but it says tell your doctor if you have problems with alcohol abuse. Your doctor may be able to smell the alcohol on your breath, but again, better safe than sorry. Now, reflux or heartburn. This is called gastroesophageal reflux disease. And meds to treat this work by decreasing the amount of acid that your stomach makes. Some of these meds you can buy over the counter, and some have a higher prescription strength. These meds are used to treat ulcers, reflux, and heartburn brought on by different causes. High-dose anti-inflammatories, such as Advil, or high-dose antibiotics, can bring on this heartburn. Most, but not all of these, you can take on an empty or a full stomach. But again, check with your pharmacist in this case. He will know which meds should be taken with food and which should not. These drugs you cannot split, crush, or chew. The next group of drugs are called antihistamines, and this is Benadryl. Everyone has heard of that. And some of these antihistamines you can buy with a prescription. As I'm sure you know, these cause drowsiness, and they suggest to avoid alcohol while you're taking them, especially on prescription, because the dose will be higher. Now, meds for hypothyroidism. This is a condition where your thyroid gland doesn't produce enough thyroid hormone. And the symptoms are slowed growth, slow speech, lack of energy, weight gain, hair loss, dry, thick skin, insensitivity to cold. Your cholesterol level in your blood may spike as well. Thyroid medicines obviously contain thyroid hormone. These are generally taken on an empty stomach, at least 1/2 hour before a meal. If you eat a lot of soy products or breads with soy flour, let your doctor know. Also watch your intake of walnuts and large amounts of dietary fiber. Now for antibiotics. Antibiotics will vary in terms of the amount of fluids that you need to drink with them, but in general, your doctor will probably tell you to drink plenty of fluids. Antibacterials will treat infections caused by bacteria, not viruses. Now, one group of antibacterials are in the quinolone category. Examples are Cipro and levofloxacin. In this category, you can usually take them either on a full or an empty stomach. If you take them on an empty stomach just before you lie down, you will most likely get heartburn. Don't take Cipro with dairy products, and perhaps not with calcium-fortified juices, but otherwise you're okay. If you drink a lot of coffee and you're taking Cipro, just check with your doctor, because it seems to make the effect of caffeine more intense. So you might find yourself getting jittery. Now, another group of antibacterials is the tetracycline group. We've all heard about these. These they recommend you take with a full glass of water, but an empty stomach is better than a full stomach. If it really upsets your stomach, you could take it with a little food. Also avoid dairy products, milk, cheese, yogurt, ice cream. Another group of antibacterials, which are not as commonly used, are the ones known as linezolid or linezolid. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. Here they want you to avoid foods that are high in tyramine. And this is one of the riskier side effects. High levels of tyramine with this antibacterial can cause a sudden, dangerous increase in your blood pressure. Foods with tyramine are foods that are slightly spoiled or not refrigerated, foods that are aged, pickled, fermented, or smoked. These include the cheeses, pretty much all of the cheeses, at least while you're on this antibacterial, beef or chicken liver, sausages, salami, bologna, caviar, dried or pickled herring, anchovies, meat tenderizers, bananas, dried fruits like figs, raisins, prunes, overripe fruit, sauerkraut, and soy sauce. Soy sauce, by the way, is a fermented product. Black tea is also a fermented product. Green tea is not. Now, another antibacterial, and I'm not sure I'm saying this right, metronidazole, I think. Once again, they want you to avoid alcohol. If you take alcohol with this med, it can cause nausea, stomach cramps, vomiting, flushing, and headaches. Now we have the antifungals, and these are meds like Monistat. These may work better if you take them during or right after a full meal. For some reason, if it's a liquid solution, they suggest taking it on an empty stomach. So that falls under the category of check with your pharmacist. And once again, avoid alcohol. And in this case, the antifungal can make the side effects of alcohol worse. Now you've got the antiprotozoas. These meds treat parasites. Once again, avoid alcohol while you're taking these drugs. The next category are anti-anxiety or panic disorder medicines. There are many of these. Diazepam is a famous one. And what a surprise. It says to avoid alcohol. Alcohol can add to the drowsiness that these meds may give you. Now you have the straight antidepressants. These can treat depression or anxiety disorders, OCD, panic attacks, etc. These medicines work by increasing the amount of serotonin that your brain synthesizes. A common one is called citalopram. Now, as for food, you can take these meds on a full or an empty stomach. Don't chew or crush them, and avoid alcohol. Now, here's the antidepressant where there's a long list of foods to avoid. They're called MAO inhibitors, and I mentioned this briefly at the top. This is usually chosen as a second line of defense against depression. You need to avoid tyramine when you're taking these MAO inhibitors. If you eat a lot of tyramine foods, you can get a sudden dangerous increase in your blood pressure. And I imagine your doctor will tell you about this in detail. They ask you to limit caffeine as well. The foods with tyramine are all of your aged and fermented foods I mentioned earlier, especially cheeses. But beer and wine are at the top of this list because, as you know, they're fermented. Another set of drugs are called antipsychotics. These treat the symptoms of schizophrenia or maybe an acute bipolar disorder. An example is clozapine. Now, they say when you're using clozapine, avoid caffeine because it can enhance the amount of medicine in your bloodstream and possibly cause side effects. And once again, avoid alcohol. Alcohol can enhance the drowsiness that some of these meds can cause. Then we have the sedatives and hypnotics, or the sleep meds. A common one is zolpidem, or many people know it as Ambien. And once again, they want you to avoid alcohol, which can add to the side effects that are caused by these meds. These meds are for sleep, and they suggest to you that you should not take these with a meal or immediately after a meal. Now, there's a group of meds called bipolar disorder meds, and the most well-known of these is lithium. You can take lithium with milk or dairy products if you like. Now, I don't know if this is necessary with our common Western diet, but they do say that lithium competes with sodium. So your doctor may want to take a sodium level every now and again. Your doctor will also suggest to you to drink plenty of fluids. And guess what? Avoid alcohol. Now, there are meds for osteoporosis. Most people have heard of calcium carbonate. It's a pretty simple compound. These medicines work when you take them with an empty stomach. They suggest to take the medicine with plenty of water. And if you see, take this medicine while sitting or standing, that generally means that it might cause heartburn if you take it just before you lie down. So in other words, they work best if you take them on an empty stomach, then eat something, then eventually lie down. Otherwise, they shouldn't be a problem. So that's pretty much what I have in the food-drug interaction category. If you have any questions, I don't promise I'll know the answer, but I can look it up for you. You can contact me, as I've said, on my website, healingoutsidethebox.com/contact. That's all I have for you today. Be well and stay tuned next week for another episode of Healing Outside the Box.